Scott, is Scott Newton on? No. Oh. Well, we've got five, so this is good. All right, let's get the meeting started. I believe, and who is our chairman right now, actually?
I think I'm the alternate to Scott.
I thought you're the member, but who said that? Is that Shirley?
Yeah.
You're the it says here that you're for Oceano and your alternate is Aline Villa.
No, I meant that for this group, I think Scott is leads the meetings, but I'm his. I've come after him.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Scott is the chairman. Okay, Scott is the chairman, and you're the
yes.
Vice. Gotcha.
Sorry.
Okay, that's perfect. Then you're in charge.
Okay. Sorry, nobody can see me, but so I'll call to order the Zone 3 Advisory Committee on Thursday, January 20th, 2022. And can we have the roll call done, please?
Yes. Member Barnidge? You can do a
Here.
Thumbs up. Okay, good. Member Rushing?
I'm here. Thank you.
Mr. Hageman. You're muted.
Present.
Good. Member Tally. Okay. Member Riley. Okay. Member Riley's alternate. Member Scrudato. Okay.
Oh, I was muted.
Okay. And Member Gibson.
Here.
Okay. Great. So we have a quorum. And the next move is to adopt the resolution so that you can have this teleconference meeting.
Jill, this is Kristen Barnidge, and I move a resolution of the Zone 3 Advisory Committee acknowledging Governor Newsom's proclamation of a state of emergency and authorizing meetings by teleconference for a period of 30 days pursuant to the Ralph M. Brown Act.
Okay.
Second.
Who said that?
Can we have a... And can we have the roll call, please?
Yes. Member Barnidge?
Yes.
Member Lessing?
Yes.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Riley? Oops, sorry. Member Scrudato?
Yes.
And Member Gibson?
Yes.
Motion passed.
So now we have a public comment for anyone that wants to address the committee for items that are not on the agenda. And we're not seeing any public comment?
No.
Okay. All right. Next, we have the approval of the minutes of November 18th, 2021. Is there any discussion or changes?
This is Board Member Barnidge, and I would move approval of the meeting minutes from November 18th, 2021.
This is Member Rushing. I would second, though I would note that in the minutes, Councilmember Anna Miller and Scott Newton's cities of origin were switched. If we could get that changed, that would be great.
Thank you. Do we need a roll call on that, Jill?
Yes.
Roll call, please.
Member Barnidge?
Yes.
Member Rushing?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Scrutato?
I didn't attend the last meeting, so.
And that's okay. If the rule is, if you want to vote yes, you may. You can also, even though you were not there, or you can just be absent, or that's not the right word. Abstain. Thank you.
I'll abstain.
Okay. So, minutes are passed.
And Jill.
Hello, everybody. It's Brian Talley.
Brian's here, right?
And okay. I support that, yes, on the minutes.
Okay, thank you, everybody. So now we'll move to operations report and start with the water plant operations, reservoir storage, and downstream releases.
Yes, Jenny Morgan is online from our water operations from the water treatment plant, and she is, I believe, ready to give you the operations report.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Jenny Morgan or Jenny Williamson? There's two of us on here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jenny Williamson. My bad. Excuse me. That was my fault.
No, all good. I just want to make sure that the correct person was going to be speaking.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't take long to get like retirement fog brain. Sorry about that.
All good. So the lake elevation for today is at 468.60. Storage is at 14,862 acre feet. Capacity is at 30%. Rainfall to date is at 11.04 inches. Plant production is at 2.8 MGD. State water production is at 1.1 MGD. And downstream release is at 2.42 MGD. Anyone have any questions on those numbers?
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Jenny, this is Kristen from Royer Grande. With the inches of rain, you said 11.04, and you said to date, that's from the water year, correct?
That's correct.
And the water year, I always forget, is that June 30th or July 30th?
Jill?
So I'm sorry. I was trying to help somebody get one of our agenda packets. Your question was, Kristen, whether a water year...
Is the water part? I can't.
The rainfall year starts July 1st and ends June 30th, which is different than our...
Okay, okay.
All right. So... Next item is projected reservoir levels. And so in your packet, you can see the graph. Let me see if I can share my screen. Let's see here. Where is it? So it's the nice colored graph. Excuse me here just a minute. I'm trying to.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Brad.
Can you see this? The agenda packet? You're no. not seeing that?
Let's see. Hold on. Do we all have this material that we can just follow along ourselves? Let's do that.
That would be okay. So on there, on your chart, which looks like this. All right. It's not pretty. I'll say that. So we did add a couple dates down there. You can see that when it's projected that we will get to the 10,000 acre foot level by August 31st. But if we get no rain, it'll be August 31st. If we get the rain that we're predicting, it would only be push us out till October 20th. So that's not that far along, but we are still, you know, we've still got like February, March, and hopefully, you know, something's going to happen and make that picture look a little bit better. Any questions on that?
Okay. So can we move to November and December monthly operations report, and that says attachment 4 for everybody.
Yeah. So it looks like as of today, we have about 1,000 acre feet of stored state water. And we used about 400 acre feet this month of total water, including state water. I believe that at this stage, everybody is still, well, we've got Arroyo Grande is still has entitlement left, and Grover Beach has some entitlement, and CSA 12, but Pismo Beach and Oceano are taking state water, I guess. That's why they haven't, nobody's gotten into their surplus, so. Any questions about the delivery?
No questions. Then we'll move to information items. And the we'll start with the proposed fiscal year budget 22-23, attachment 5.
All right, that's this time it's Jenny Morgan from our finance division, and she will. You can see, follow along in your packet. We've got a kind of a synopsis of the proposed budget. Are you here, Jenny? Yes.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
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 Yep. Yep,
gotcha. Okay. Jenny Morgan, County Public Works Finance. Today I'm going to be discussing the fiscal year 22-23 proposed budget for Zone 3. Early next week, I will mail out the budget books to the Zone 3 Finance Committee. They will distribute the hard copies to their city managers and other related staff. Also next week, everyone on the Zone 3 contact list, which includes this advisory committee and alternates, and the TAC and their alternates will receive a PDF version via email. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to review attachment 5. I just wanted to quickly run through. And the TAC has already discussed and finalized the non-routine and capital sections. At their next meeting on February 9th, the TAC will receive the budget books and have another opportunity for discussion. Also on February 17th, I will meet with the Zone 3 Finance Committee to review the proposed budget. I would encourage you to meet with your Finance Committee members and discuss any issues you may have prior to this meeting. Hopefully any questions can be emailed to myself prior to that meeting. Then on March 17th, I will be back here at the advisory committee meeting to give a brief presentation of the budget and ask for your endorsement. After it is endorsed by your committee, the Zone 3 budget will then go to the County Board of Supervisors in mid-June for adoption. Very briefly, the 22-23 budget reflects an overall increase of 3.2% in billings to the agency. Much of the proposed increase is due to new increases across several line items that exceed the decreases in others. The routine O&M billings went up 5.9%, but the non-routine O&M decreased 12.3% and capital outlay increased 7.5%. But this overall, they maintained the TAC billable target of a 750 for the non-routine and capital items. And then the billable debt decreased 0.8%. So that concludes my report, and I will hopefully be seeing everybody at the March meeting for my presentation. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Ginny? Okay, thank you, Ginny. And we'll move on to our cloud seeding update.
I'm going to have to apologize on this one. I don't have an update. When I spoke to Dave, David Spiegel, who normally runs the meeting, he indicated that there was an actual attachment, something that would give you a written document, you know, saying what had happened in the last couple months. He did briefly tell me that they had, I believe they lit 5 or 12 flares since in the month of December, and then they are continuing to track all the storms, and their contract will end April 1st. So between now and then, they'll continue to seed whatever is available, you know, whatever storms come that can be seeded. So I don't have the exact numbers. I apologize for that, but he did mention somewhere on upwards of about 12 for the last month. So that's pretty good. I think also to note is that I believe you guys have decided to go with another 3-year program with that North American Weather Consultants. And so that's in the budget for another 3-year program with them. So that's exciting. That's all I have, unfortunately, on cloud seeding.
Jill, how many active ground sites do we have?
We have, let's see, I believe 3 that we've got the Arroyo Grande one, we have Mount Losby, and there's one other one.
Barrows Peak, I think.
Yeah, Barrows Peak. That's, I mean, that one and the Arroyo Grande one are actually the two that we've been using the most. I'm not sure about, I know we have available because of you guys that we have access to low speed, but I don't know how much they've used it.
Right. Well, good. 3. That's nice.
Yeah, it is.
Any more questions for Jill?
I think at the TAC meeting, this is Brad, couple things, and Dan, I'm not sure if you recall, but my recollection was that we only used the Arroyo Grande sites for these last storms. I think I'm not positive on that. And then also there was an article that Shane shared with the TAC, with the idea of sharing that with anybody interested. NPR did an article on cloud seeding, and it's specifically for and I think, I don't know if Shane got a cameo in that or not. He's probably making residuals right now on it. But anyway, I did send that to the Avila Beach CSD board members. And so if you are looking for a copy of that, I'm sure Dave or Jill could find it, or you could check in with your TAC member because Dave did send it out.
Was it positive or negative or neutral or?
I think it was positive in terms of and it explained, I think, the concepts as much as anything. So I think it was more informative, but it didn't have an angle on it as far as, negative the impacts from cloud seeding.
Good to know. Any more questions for Jill? Okay, next we'll discuss the contract changes, an update of that.
Yeah, I have Dan Heimel and I have been, who's online, he and I have been working on this at the retirement. This is the one project I'm trying to keep moving forward. We have a presentation for you, and I know some of you, this may sort of be your first time that you've been hearing about it, so we're going to give you a on where we are right in a second. We'll give you a little bit of history. Hopefully you had a chance to read the staff report, because it's really pretty well lined out in the staff report where we've been. Let me see. Hold on 1 minute while I try to share my... All right, so let's see here. Can we all see?
Yep, see your screen.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to let Dan give a presentation between the two of us. If anybody could mute themselves, there's a lot of background noise all of a sudden.
Yeah, okay. I think it's coming from you, Shirley.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I think Shirley's on there twice for some reason. Not sure. We're not getting feedback, though.
Okay. So here's our lovely lake, and I wanted to find actually a better picture, but then I thought this is actually where we're at. Again, very low water reservoir levels. Just real briefly, the last time we were here was with a presentation of sorts, was back in September of 2020. So this, the point of this presentation is just to kind of bring you along since where we are since September of 2020.
Jill, you want to switch into presentation mode just so it's a little bit bigger?
That it was. Okay, how do I do that?
Okay. We're seeing.
Okay, this. I don't know how to. Let's see.
No big deal.
I have it in presentation mode on my for me, but I don't. For some reason, I'm not.
If you click on slideshow.
Okay.
And then it'll say maybe from the beginning.
Yeah, it says resume.
Oh, okay. So that's funny. We're seeing we're seeing.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah. Let's see. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Sorry about it. Let's see.
All right, Jill, quick question. Are you utilizing two monitors?
I'm utilizing three.
Okay, it may be, this is something I found out when I tried screen sharing previously, that sometimes it may be dependent on which monitor you have the presentation up on.
So to fix that, I go back to share screen. Let's see what happens if I... Let me try that again. So now I stopped sharing my screen. Mm-hmm. try again. Okay, this is the one I want. Okay, try this. Are we good now?
Yep, looks great.
Great.
Voila.
Okay.
You're a techie.
Thank you, Jenny. Hardly. All right, here's our pretty picture of the lake. Let's see what I can do here. You ready, Dan?
Yep. Yeah, okay. So we have a relatively short presentation here, but it does include a bit of the background, which I think will be good for a couple of reasons. One, we've got some new faces, and two, as Jill mentioned, it's been a little over a year since we last provided a presentation on this initiative to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. So a little bit of a rehash for everybody. So we'll talk about the purpose of this initiative, why the Zone 3 contract changes, an overview of the proposed changes. We'll describe the contract change process, the associated CEQA or environmental process, and then the legal process that are all part of the next steps that we need to complete to complete this initiative. So go to the next slide. So why the changes to the contracts? I mean, the contracts have been in place since 2000, right, Jill? That was the last time they were updated. But, you know, obviously things are working fine, but there have been some unintended consequences. And so the big driver for this was back in 2014-15 when we entered into the Low Reservoir Response Plan, which is where we are again, unfortunately. But agencies were able to store water under the LRRP or Low Reservoir Response Plan provisions, but we didn't have a mechanism for the agencies to retain that stored water when the reservoir filled back up and we exited the LRRP. And so one of the drivers for the contract changes is to address that specific issue and component, but it also is to provide the agencies the ability to store water in low pressure reservoir, not only when we're in the LRRP, but at other lake levels as well. And this is critically important because it'll provide the following benefits. It'll provide an enhanced ability for each agency to store water for future drought. It improves the flexibility for multi-year water resource planning as agencies know that they have a certain amount of water reserved within the reservoir for their uses in the case of extended drought conditions. It allows for enhanced flexibility in water supply portfolio management. It will allow agencies to kind of optimize and or better utilize how they use water from their different sources with the goal of, you know, preserving water for a potential future drought conditions. And then the last driver here is that it provides an incentive for agencies to use their state water because now they can preserve their Lopez water and have water stored here locally for future drought conditions. And it, you know, an example of that is as Jill described in the production report, that Oceano and Pismo, now that we're in the LRP, have switched almost fully to state water and are preserving their Lopez supplies, which is really what is intended with the larger contract changes initiative, providing that incentive to bring in state water and bolster our local water supplies. Next slide. Just kind of what's included in the contract changes. This is a kind of a high level overview, but really at its core, it's storage. And specifically, it's the ability for the individual Zone 3 agencies to store their unused water. And so that could be either their unused entitlement or their unused surplus water that they're allocated each water year. But it also allows for storage of state water through in-lieu exchanges. And it's important to point out here, we're not talking about actual state water project molecules being put in to Lopez Reservoir, but an exchange of state water for other agencies, Lopez entitlements, which in effect creates stored state water within Lopez Reservoir. Storage is great, but we got to make sure that we account for it properly, you know, that we're you know, not creating water on paper that isn't there physically. And so to do that, we need to account for evaporation. As we store more water in the reservoir level is higher, the surface area of the reservoir is larger, and the amount of water that then evaporates is higher. And so we need to account for that and subtract that from the water that's in storage. And then also we need the ability for the reservoir to kind of reset, I think is a term that's been used, you know. So because we're operating under the safe yield principle, at certain times the reservoir needs to fill all the way up, all the stored water needs to reset, and then the district then has its full reservoir volume available to give out entitlements in years to come. So when the reservoir fills and spills water in storage, it is then lost by the agencies. But the good news is now we've got a full reservoir. We've got almost 50,000 acre feet of water available to us, and so they can start rebuilding those storage accounts if they need to. There's also some cleanup and some just opportunities to improve the language. So we clarified some of the language, or we're proposing to clarify some of the language with respect to delivery commitments and capacity limitations. Again, really with the goal of adding in flexibility. And then finally, there's some outdated language that we're taking this opportunity to clean up and remove from the contracts. So how does this process work? We put together this slide just to kind of outline the different steps that we've been through and where we're headed. So first we came up with the conceptual concepts with respect to storage. Then we took those concepts and actually modeled them help me out, Jill, what's the modeling platform?
Oh, OASIS.
OASIS, thank you. It's the OASIS model that ECOR, now Western Hydrologics, developed for the Zone 3 system. But what it allowed us to do is to model what we think would happen if we put these contract changes in effect. How would it benefit the agencies? How would it impact the amount of water that's in the reservoir? And then how would climate change impact it? And then we can compare that to kind of a baseline scenario where we don't have these contract changes. And that really helped us evaluate the benefit, which is really important for the fourth step that's highlighted with the green circle, which is the CEQA, or environmental evaluation. What we did in parallel with that, we also went through and developed the specific recommendations for the specific language changes to the contract. So that's that third box. But really where we've been focused, you know, since we last talked, it has been on the CEQA evaluation and preparing the mitigated neg deck document, well, the project description, and then even more recently, the mitigated neg deck document. County Environmental, the county's environmental division has been leading the development of these CEQA documents. We are very close, as we'll talk about on the timeline, to be able to release that public draft mitigated negative declaration, or MND, for public and stakeholder review and comment. The next steps will be, once we get through that process, would be for the Board of Supervisors to approve both the CEQA document and the contract changes, and then approval by the Zone 3 agencies. Next slide. Just drilling down a little bit deeper, digging into the details a little bit more on the CEQA process. This just outlines the steps that we've gone through, as I described. Prepared a project description, did the modeling analysis to compare and quantify changes and or impacts, did some early outreach to NOAA Fisheries with respect to this project, prepared and released the notice of preparation and the project description, received comments on that notice of preparation, and then, as I described, where we are right now is wrapping up the mitigated neg deck. We're hoping to release the MND on January 24th. There'll be a 30-day comment period. That's really kind of the where we're anticipating the biggest opportunity to get some comments on this process that may impact our path forward from here. Because really that's going to be the opportunity for the regulatory agencies to comment on this proposed change to the contract and the initiative. We've had some early outreach with NOAA at Fisheries, but they'll be providing much more detailed information for them with the MND. After getting comments back, we'll prepare a response to comments, and then with the goal of taking the contract changes and the associated CEQA document to the district's Board of Supervisors for approval sometime in the April to June 2022 timeframe. And next slide is the legal review process. So we've developed the conceptual changes. We've taken the first cut at the specific language changes in the contracts, but we still need to go through that final fine-tooth comb kind of review with the legal counsels, both from the district as well as the individual Zone 3 agencies. And so those are really the next steps with respect to the legal review process, is having the current proposed contract changes reviewed by the legal counsel representing each of the individual parties. Once we finalize those language edits, again, this would be taken first to the Board of Supervisors for approval along with the CEQA document, and then finally taken to the Zone 3 contractors for them to approve the updated or what we're specifically calling the amended and restated contracts. The reason for that order is that way the Zone 3 agencies can reference the district's CEQA findings when it performs its own approval of the contract changes. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Any questions? No questions. Good job, Dan.
I don't know if it came up earlier, but I meant to mention it. We got some good water news today from the State Department of Water Resources. The annual allocation got increased from 0 to 15%. So it's always good to pass that along.
Yeah, thanks for doing that.
Hey, thanks, Dan. This is Brian. I just wanted to say, as you know, somebody who's been here the whole time that this has come down, I thought that you did a really nice job of summarizing, you know, where we've come to. And maybe people don't appreciate how significant this is going to be when we make these changes.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Yeah, it's going to create real opportunities for enhanced water resource management in the Zone 3 area.
Right.
So, hi. Are there any more questions for Dan? Thank you, Dan, for your excellent presentation.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Thanks, everyone.
Oh, question? Okay, next we'll go to capital projects update, and yeah. Jill's going to give us a bi-monthly update.
Yeah, so it'll be helpful to have your what's in your packet in front of you. Dave did a good job already. Hopefully you had a chance to read it. The So far we're making good progress on things. I was happy. I haven't looked at this in a long time, and I was really excited to see actually the second page where it shows completed projects, because they've made a lot of headway. Just quickly, Tesla battery storage, they're just making some final connections this week. So that should soon be coming down to the completed projects section of this report. The spillway assessment investigation, sounds like, let's see, what did Dave tell me about that? Probably that won't happen. We won't actually start on the physical part of this work until next fiscal year, because right now we're in the process of getting permits from DSOD to do that, some of the work that we're talking about. And I believe task one is doing some actual concrete core sampling of the spillway. Geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study of the terminal reservoir dam. That also, we have a contractor online, and we're just negotiating some items. I think at this point, they're just kind of making their plan on how they're going to go about the project. So it sounds like it also is not going to start probably until, you know, later in spring, maybe partly into next year. The fault zone risk assessment is nearly done, and that's a great one that we finally got completed. It's nearly completed. Sounds like we got a revised report in January, and we're in the process of reviewing it. But the overall assessment was that the risk is low for a risk of a slide there. It's very low, and that their mitigation basically is quarterly and semi-annual monitoring and inspections. And they said even the inspections can occur just by staff. They're not really recommending that we have to have necessarily a special geotech person. So that's good news. Water treatment plant safety upgrades, no change on that. We're still looking into making some safety improvements in the membrane room where all the racks are. Cathodic protection repair project, that's moving along nicely as well. They're kind of doing their design and investigation right now. They're going to fix units 1 and 3 first, and then they'll fix unit 2 secondly. So that's good that's actually made a lot of progress since I last left. Equipment storage building, I think they finally decided what they're going to do, and it's going to be about $40,000 cheaper than what we thought. So that's another good, that's a good progress there. And the CO2 injection system, that's also moving along. Apparently we're negotiating the actual carbon dioxide contract for the actual materials. But that's also moving along, and that will eliminate the mineral acid that we are currently, mineral acid injection system that we're currently using. And once we turn it over into the CO2 system, we'll be able to get rid of all that hazardous material that's currently being stored, the hydrochloric acid that's being stored on site. Apparently the last project, which was unbudgeted, is a sludge bed curtain wall. Sounds like they're working on that as well. I don't know a ton about that one. Let's see what he said. They're going to be doing that one actually next year as well. So that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions on that stuff? I think Dave wanted me also to mention that if, as far as member appointments, he does have a board letter that he's preparing that will make where we will reverse. So Daniel will become the member for Grover Beach, and Anna Miller will become the alternate. But apparently we actually have to take that to the board. You can't just do it on the side. So that will happen soon. And I think that's it. Is there any questions or anything?
Okay, thank you, Jill. Well, we don't have any action items. Next, we discuss future agenda items. Are there any to discuss, Jill?
That's for your board. That's for your committee to determine. It's a good opportunity. If somebody says, hey, I'd like to know about this or what's happening here, we can put that on so that we bring you some, you know, some other item if you're interested.
Okay. Does anybody have some suggestions?
I think it's always good. I always put down cloud seeding because I think that's good to just always have that through the winter months right now. So I will write that. So, and maybe we can give you something that's more than a verbal update so that you can have some actual numbers or something to refer to. They will have a report out, will come out probably at the end of April. Once the contract is over, then they do like a summary report where they tell everything that they did for that, for this whole season.
Thank you, Jill.
Are there any other items you'd like to have an update on, or? We must be doing an amazing job. Okay. Woo!
Okay, and do any committee members want to make comments? Okay, no one wants to comment. So I think we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Who said that?
I'll second it.
That was Brian.
Okay.
So that was seconded. So everybody in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you, Jill.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Jill.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Jill.